So last time we got together, I shared a message about what God does with skeptical people, and that was the story of Nathaniel and Jesus commending him for being actually skeptical, and how God gave him the ability to have a direct connection with God. And that's awesome. You know, we don't have to, you know, we should always kind of look at things that people say skeptically and try to prove what people say. And, you know, the Bereans were those that they checked the word, man. They just didn't just take what people said at, you know, just because they said it. And so Jesus gave Nathaniel that direct connection of knowing who he really was. So today we're going to just keep rolling, I think, in the Gospel of John. Is that cool?
That's great.
All right. So Jesus got his disciples together in chapter 1, and now into chapter 2, they're all gathered, and it just so happens that on the third day, which is a really great day for Christians, the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. This is John chapter 2, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And so when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mom said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to his servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. So when the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and showed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So this is just a fantastic story. You can just see it play out in your mind and all about the big wedding feast. Actually, we got a wedding coming up at Wellspring that we're very excited about. So, any case, so Jesus showed them his glory. What can we learn from this? So here's what I'm calling this message. It's an invitation to glory. Invitation to glory. So here they were. Jesus' mom was at the wedding feast, and Jesus himself was invited along with his disciples. And so we have an invitation in our daily lives. Things come to us that we have. And what happens? Well, normal life, we have needs. They ran out of stuff. Right now, people are running to the store. What are they doing? They're stocking up on stuff that they don't want to run out of. And the theme of this whole story is about running out of wine. I mean, that's like, it seems like here, at least for that wedding, that's like the last thing you want to run out of is the wine. That's what kept the party, the feast going, the celebration. And so we are always going to be facing needs in our lives. And here's this story about real life. And Jesus is there, and they don't want to run out of wine. Now, so Jesus goes to, his mom goes to Jesus and says, "They've run out." I mean, she just let him know that there was a need. And I just want to say, I see really Mary here as being the woman of faith in this passage. Do you? Mm-hmm. I mean, she went to Jesus and said, "They ran out of wine." I think she told him that because she knew he could do something and he would do something. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so Jesus said, what does that have to do with me? I mean, that is the question in daily life I think every single one of us have to deal with. If we're going to walk in faith, we've got to see, how does this have to do with Jesus? And Jesus wants to know from us, your daily life, how is it going to relate to me? Connect your daily life with me. What does this have to do with me? Well, how do you open up that connection, that faith connection between you and Jesus? How do you open it up? Well, Mary had the answer. She just simply said, whatever he says, do it. That was a statement of faith. So I think that as we face some of the challenges that we've maybe never faced before here, I mean, we've never had to face a challenge of this invisible enemy, as it's called, quite like this. But I know one thing, if we just do whatever he says, Jesus is going to step in. And that's the key. Just do what he says. Do what he says. And that we just do what he says, and that brings Jesus into our situation and activates our faith, so to speak. And then the second thing is, they're just called servants. And I think John uses that word on purpose because he just wants us to know that have a servant attitude with people, with anything, just whatever they say, do it. So what were some of the things about that servant attitude? Well, I thought the interesting thing that showed me, he says, fill the water pots up and fill them full. So whatever it is that you do, do it all the way. If you're asked to do something, go for it. Don't just fill the water pot halfway. If Jesus says fill the water pot, fill it to the top. Just go for it. Give it all you got. Right? God loves a cheerful giver. We used to sing that song.
That wasn't a small thing to fill those water pots.
Right.
They were 30 or 40 gallons. They didn't have a hose they could just take over there.
No.
I mean, they had to, those servants had to carry.
They were carrying a lot of buckets.
All that water from a well.
Right.
To fill those water pots.
That's right.
Work.
It was work.
That was work. You know, I mean, but it was effort.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
And
they filled it till they could fill no more.
Then
right?
I wonder if they grumbled and said, this is crazy. What am I doing this for?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It's interesting. But.
And, you know, they used what they had. Now, they didn't have wine. But with Jesus, use the water that you have, and he'll make a difference in that, too. So the other thing that I noticed here, too, was that once they got the pots full, then Jesus, the second thing he says is, go ahead and serve it. Now, that took a step of faith. Because if someone's been drinking wine, and, you know, you put water in a pot, and now you're dipping into that pot, okay, it's a risk. So they used what they had, and then God did the rest. God brought his glory because he took what they had, and he made it into something really special. He turned the water into wine. Praise God. They served it in faith, and then Jesus changed it into something really awesome, something glorious. And I think that, you know, so much of our cultural environment here in America is so personality driven, you know, it's all about these people. But in this miracle, in this glory, it wasn't about the servants at all. They didn't have names. It was all about what they served. And so if I am, you know, it doesn't matter who I am, but if I've served something people really want and need, then I'm going to be very busy. And so it's what you serve, it's not who you are, that matters. What you give people, what you have to give people. And Jesus will give you something that people will be blessed. As a matter of fact, he said, the master of the feast said that this is the best wine of the day, of the night. People will know, you know, folks will know that what you have is the best, and they'll be blessed by it. And Jesus made it that way. They didn't make it. They just obeyed. And Jesus made it that way. And it was at the end of the night. And I just see a lot of hope in that. I feel that you know, it's not like you shoot all of your bullets or you give, you know, you give all your stuff out and then you have nothing left at the end. Actually, they had the best at the very end of what the night was, which was just the opposite of a typical wedding party. That really shocked people too. This is just not the same kind of wedding feast. And so here, Jesus was changing their life right around them with his glory. But the only people that knew how it happened were the servants. No one else knew the miracle that took place except for the disciples and the servants. They knew where that wine came from. Praise God. So Jesus really, really wants people who are willing to have a servant's heart. And he really wants them to, he wants to bless them because they will know. They will see God's glory when other people won't see it. And your faith is going to grow. I mean, the disciples already believed in Jesus. They followed him. You know, they decided, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. Peter decided it. Nathaniel decided it. Philip decided it. All those guys decided to follow Jesus. So they had faith, but it says in this passage that they believed in him. So their faith grew. And that's the other thing that's so cool, is that God will strengthen our faith as we continue to walk with him, because God's not finished with us yet. He just wants to add to our faith. He wants to strengthen our faith with his glory. So they saw that wonderful sign. So I just, you know, before we pray, I know you've got, God always gives you good stuff. What would you like to, what would you like to say?
Well, it just occurred to me too that, you know, the servants, you know, we have employees at our shop. And they don't always agree with what they're told to do.
Right.
They don't always understand, or they don't really, you know, you have a certain amount of grumbling that goes around sometimes. And, you know, sometimes the Lord will ask us to do something that we don't understand and may not make any sense to us.
Right.
And, you know, those servants had no choice. They did it because they were servants. But I'm sure, and when they came time to pour it out, I just think about what a clay pot with 40 gallons of water or liquid in it would weigh. I mean, that must have been extremely heavy. And they had to pour it out for into some kind of container for wine. I imagine there was some skepticism among the servants, you know, until...
Just could have been, right?
Yeah, and I imagine there was probably some rolling of the eyes and some... looking at each other, exchanging of looks, and maybe some grumbled under the breath comments.
Right.
But they did it, and when that purple wine started to come out, that skepticism turned to amazement.
Right.
At what had happened, and then to probably excitement and faith.
And
at
then
that point,
faith, like, dude, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
So they were blessed.
So when God asks us to do something that we don't understand, you know, we should just do it the best that we can and see what God does. But we may not really have all that faith in the beginning.
Right. We may not get it.
We may not get it. So don't condemn yourself if you don't get it.
If you don't get it.
Lord, Jesus turned the water into the wine in spite of the servants' possible unbelief, in spite of everybody's unbelief. Really.
Right.
You know, faith is important, but sometimes God acts because he wants to be good to us.
Yes, he is.
He
was so good.
He wants to teach us something, you know?
I mean, Mary just said they're out of wine. Like, that's just not the kind of miracle I would think, you know.
Really, it was one person's faith.
It was her faith, man.
Mary's the only person.
She definitely released it, the power of God.
And also, Jesus wasn't the one that told them what to do. It was was Mary.
Mary said, so, do what he says.
Sometimes the Lord uses us to do something. He doesn't give a direct order.
Right.
He will ask us to convey something.
Right. And if they didn't do what Jesus said, would they have seen the miracle?
No.
No. So actually, this was the first miracle that we see where the disciples were a big part of that miracle. It wasn't just Jesus healing somebody or just doing this or that. They were a big part of it. If they didn't do anything,
right,
it wouldn't have happened. It kind of reminds me of the loaves and the fishes story. You know, taking the kids' bag lunch and turning it, feeding thousands of people. So anyway.
And can I tell this testimony about Elizabeth's wedding?
I think we need testimony time. Yes, let's hear
a
testimony.
Well, this is just a little illustration.
Right, we need it.
At our daughter's wedding, we had bought up a good bit of wine ahead of time when we got it on sale. We bought up some wine, and we had stored it. Okay, we had put it away in a storage place. Well, when the wedding came, we were all so excited and so busy and so distracted trying to do all the wedding stuff that we got some of the wine was out, but we forgot to get the rest of the wine out.
Right.
In fact, we forgot it was even there, and we ran out of wine at the reception.
Right.
Because we forgot where the wine was.
In the busyness of life.
In the busyness
of the event.
But afterwards, like 2 weeks later, we found all that wine. And we said, oh no, there it is.
There's the wine.
We really had enough wine. So sometimes we need to remember our hidden place in the Lord.
Right.
When we're getting dry, we're running out of the wine of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We need to remember the hidden place that the Lord has where we meet with Him, and go to that place and get our wine of the Spirit from Him.
Amen.
In that hidden place.
That's good. So I thought we'd pray today. We'd pray for the disciples. That means those of you that love Jesus and that your faith would be built up. Because it says there His disciples believed, because only disciples and servants, they knew what was going on. And then I'd like to pray for everyone that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. Just like all the people at the feast tasted and said, wow, this is amazing wine. So we'd like to pray. So let's. I'm going to take her hands because it's okay for us, We're quarantined together here. Well, not really quarantined, but we're practicing proper social distancing. That's the word, right? That's the word.
Yeah.
So, Father God, we just lift up God's people and His disciples.
Amen.
All over that hear this message.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for them right now that they would believe, that their faith would be strengthened, that they would see God's signs and wonders that shows them that God can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary, that God could take what we have and turn it into something better. And Lord, we just thank You for that it's such a simple act of just doing what He says. And so, Father God, we just encourage right now, we pray, Lord, for all of God's people that they would just be encouraged to just hear and do what the Lord says to them in simplicity. And as they do it, God is going to transform not just their lives, but the lives of those around them. And Father, we also pray for those that do not know Jesus yet as the great Messiah. We pray, Lord, that they will taste and see that the Lord is good. That as they taste this good wine, this wine that is better than what they've been getting, Lord, let them see that, oh man, this wine is so good. I want to find out how this wine was made, and I want to be connected to this great one. So, Father, we also pray for just revival to come to the people that have been invited to the feast, and You are invited to the feast. Everyone is welcome. And so we pray that God will bring them in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
And Father, Lord, strengthen everyone that's suffering and being sick right now because of this virus and other things that they're suffering. Father, we just lift that up. We pray that the healing blessing of the Lord would just enrich and strengthen people all over the world, starting from our location. We want to see it happen. So, Father, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We just continue to pray also, Lord God, for those that are serving in hospitals, those that are doctor's offices, people who are testing, people who are working. Lord, those that are just working in the stressed out industries right now. Father, we also pray, Lord God, for those that are not working because of this thing, that their jobs have been shut down. Father, we pray for your provision for those that are doing without. And Father, we pray for our leaders, our governor, Lord, the local leaders, our president, the Congress. We just lift them up, Lord God, that they would make good decisions, Lord, based on facts, Lord, based on wisdom, based on things that just are heavenly wisdom, Lord, not earthly advantages, Lord, or other factors. But Father, we pray for things that will bring blessings to your people. And Lord God, we just say, Lord, amen to that wisdom being delivered. Lord, we thank you for the counselors, the advisors, those that are drawn together, Lord. We just thank you for breakthrough in the next few days, Lord God. Breakthrough in turning this plague away and causing it to dissipate in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we pray for small businesses.
Yes.
And small business owners, Lord, that have had to close their doors.
Yes.
And aren't bringing in any income, Lord. We just pray.
Yes.
For those also.
Yes.
God, that they would not, that they would be able to survive and
Amen.
Be able to come back stronger.
Yes. And Lord, I just one more prayer. I want to pray for a pastor friend that just found out that's going in for surgery for cancer this Thursday. Lord, bless him as well.
Yes.
His name is Tony. Bless him in Jesus' name. Bless Tony, Lord. Bring complete and total healing to him in Jesus' name. Stand with him. We stand
yes,
with him,
Lord,
as well.
We do.
Thank you, Lord. And there's a funeral I'm going to be ministering at tomorrow. Lord, I just continue to lift up that family. Just bless them in Jesus' name. Let them be comforted in Jesus' name. God bless you.